Hallelujah. He does care for us. All righty. Well, anybody want to just maybe thank the Lord for something that he's done for them in this past week and everything? I know this is Memorial Day weekend, and I tell you what, and nothing else, we can thank him for that. We can thank him for the men and women that went on the battlefield for us, that we could have the freedom that we have today. And if we don't really, you know, some people say, well, the freedom, we ain't got no freedom. Yes, we have to. We got more freedom than I think we deserve. But the Lord, I tell you, he's good to us, isn't he? Come on now, I know somebody wants to brag on the Lord a little bit. I don't think we do it enough.
I think the Lord has saved mine already, so. Thank you for the many blessings we have for some of our lives. And I think each day that I don't think that I could live each day if it wasn't for his help and his many blessings.
Amen. It's good.
I don't thank him for saving me. I just can't thank him enough for his goodness towards me. So many times he's come through for me. And he'll always come through. And I believe he's going to touch Bill. And I believe he's going to touch Jimmy too.
Amen. Amen. That's good. Anybody else? Amen. Anybody else? Good. Well, I want to take this time. I want to thank the Lord for saving my soul and don't know why, but I'm thankful that he has been with me. And through the time that I've been through and everything, and I think it's made me a better individual, a better preacher. I know we go through some hard times and we don't understand why we have to go through them. But it's always a reason behind it. And I think when we go through it, and after we come out on the other side, we'll come to find out that we're a better individual, a better Christian than we was before we went in. And I thank him for that. I thank him for this church. I thank him for each and every one of you. I never thought I'd have a pastor again, but hey, I just had to wait on the Lord. And I don't know if anybody knows anything about it or not, but when it comes down to me, I'm impatient. I'm just impatient. I want it now. But I do thank you for allowing me to be down here and be a part of this congregation and this group of people. I know it may not be a big church, but I will say this. May not be a great big church in members, but I'll tell you what. It's got a great big heart that will fill this room. And if we don't have the heart and the cares for other people, then we don't need no more people. But I believe the Lord's going to bring us some. I don't know when. Have no idea why he's having us to wait so long. But I reckon he's waiting on me, I reckon. I don't know. But I've told him and I've asked him. I said, Lord, if there's anything that's in my life, anything at all, it's causing the church not to grow and causing other people, and when they come, that they don't come back. If there's anything in my life, Lord, take it away from me. And Lord, and take me out of the ministry. If my ministry is going to cause that, I don't want to cause that. I don't want to be a hindrance of anybody coming in and have the blessings of the Lord bestowed upon them, and for that lost soul to come to know Jesus. I'd rather for the Lord just to say, Donnie, I'm going to set you down for a while. And I know it would hurt. It would really hurt. But if that's what he wanted me to do for this church, to grow where people could come in and get saved, that's what I'm willing to do. That's what I'm willing to do. Now, don't get in your head that I said that and thinking about, well, he's thinking about resigning. No, I ain't either. Nuh-uh. No. My prayer is that the Lord will get a hold of my life. It will turn about face. And that I could be right here. And I could be right up here in this pulpit. Or I could be out there on the highways and the hedges and telling somebody else about Jesus when I hear that trumpet sound. Have you ever thought about this, though? The day that trumpet sounds. The reason that trumpet's going to sound is because the last soul has got in. See, the Lord Jesus, he's got his fingers on that individual. We know what, we do not know where it's at. It could be in Danville. It could be right in Ringo. It could be right in the state of Virginia. It could be overseas in Germany, Italy. It could even be in Russia. It could even be in the White House. We don't know. But have you ever thought about this? When that last soul is won to the Lord, I've thought about it a lot here lately. When that last soul says yes to Jesus, and as soon as he says yes to Jesus, to come into his heart and save his soul, that trumpet's going to sound. And that individual's going up. That individual is not going to know anything at all about getting away from God. Not going to think about having to worry about coming to church, because he's going to be right there. He's going to be right there. He's going to be in it. I believe he's going to be. Now, I know that nobody is, as long as they are born and born into the flesh, that nobody's perfect. I know that. And we are all sinners. And he's a sinner too. Or she's a sinner for that last soul. But even that individual is going to be so close to God at that very moment. And that very moment that individual is going home. I believe that's going to be another one of his special angels in heaven. Because see, when he's going to know something. They're going to know something about being redeemed. But they're not going to know anything at all about going out here and meeting people and telling people about Jesus. I would love to be the one that would take that word and be standing there and just say, you know, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. He loved you enough that he died for you. I would love to be the one to tell him that. And then I hear a trumpet. Not only that, that individual that was just led to the Lord is going to hear a trumpet. See, God gives each one of us spiritual hearing aids. Why does he give us that spiritual hearing aid? So our ears will perk up to that trumpet. Because see, I can be standing beside somebody. They could be lost. And my ears will start perking up. I hear the trumpet, I'm gone. They're going to wonder what happened. They didn't hear no trumpet. That's going to be the saddest part of God. They're not going to hear the trumpet. You know, I thank the Lord for what he's given me. And I thank him for giving me the opportunity to serve him. He didn't have to do that. And I'm so thankful that I can go to him. And like I said this morning, that I can cast them cares upon him. Why? Because he careth for me. The problems that we come up against each and every day is a care that we struggle with. but he's just waiting. He's waiting for us just to say, Lord, I have a need. I'm carrying a burden. Lord, do you think maybe that you could see fit to take it away from me and you handle it? Just so I won't have to worry about that burden no more. That I could go out there and worry about somebody else dying and going to hell. He don't want us to worry about anything like that. He wants us to be free. Free. To where we can go out here and move. And look and see the people that are hurting. But if you will tonight, if there's nothing, nobody else, I'm gonna give an individual the last opportunity. They want to say something else. You say it. But we're gonna be turning to the Book of Corinthians, Second Corinthians, chapter 2. And I'm going to be reading one verse of Scripture. One verse of Scripture. And that's going to be 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. Verse 11 says, "Least Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." In other words, we not are going to be surprised at what he attacks us with. He's not going to be the one to come up on us and where it's going to be a complete surprise to us. Because I believe this, I believe also the Lord Jesus, and I know that Satan himself, he has to go to the Lord Jesus, and he has to go to God the Father, and he has to go and he has to have permission from them to do something to me. To attack me, try me, or whatever. But you know something, I do not believe that the Lord would allow the devil to do some things to me and to try to get me out away from God's will if God does not do something first. And he's going to build up my faith. He's going to build up my faith. He's going to build up my strength. And he's going to bring Scripture back to me. And I believe that's what he's talking about there in the book of John chapter 14 and verse 26 in the latter part of that verse there. It's the way he says, "I will bring all remembrance. I will bring remembrance back to you." What he's saying is, I will bring remembrance to that word that you read last month. You didn't need it then. Now you need it. That's the way God is. But if I was going to title a message tonight, it would be this: the trickery of the devil. See, the devil can play all kinds of tricks on us. And we'll say, well, why does he do that? Well, because he's trying his very best to keep as many people as he can to himself. Because he don't want to end up in hell when he's going to be cast there. And he don't want to be alone. Because he wants to be the one over hell, and he wants the one to be in authority. But he does not even have authority over hell. We know when he was there in heaven, God had all authority. God was above Lucifer at that time. But Lucifer, he got so wrapped up in his own self. He got so wrapped up in what he had seen that what God was doing and all the creation that God was creating. And he said to himself, he said, "Self, I believe that I can create something just as good as God can." And God said, "Okay, I'm going to allow you to create something. But you just remember, when you fall, it's going to be hard." That's just like us, as Christians, as individuals. Yeah, he will allow us to try different things. But he will also say, "But when you get to that point, and when you fall, don't come back and blame me." Have you ever told your children that? Have you ever heard anybody say that? Well, if you do that, and you know what I've told you, and you go on and do it anyhow, you must realize there's going to be consequences to the action. You're going to have to pay the ultimate price. What is that ultimate price to a child? That price may be when that child gets home. It depends the age that they are. They may be at the age of where they have got an automobile and they got their driver's license, a teenager. And the consequences may be that the parents will take the keys away from them. But today, the day and time that we're living in, if that teenager, if that child defies the parent and goes out here and does what they want to do out here in the world, and the parents is told then if you do it, you're going to lose your privileges. And the whole time the child is snickering under their breath. He says, "No, I ain't. I ain't." They defy the parents. Have you ever seen a time in your lifetime where the child has more authority than the elected officials? That the child has more authority than the mother and the father? And the child also has more authority than the judge that sits behind that bench? Because that child can come up and say, "Don't make no done to me. You do what you want to. Hey, I'm 16 years old. I'm going to be out in 2 years. And then I can really do what I want to do." We treat God the same way. When we really don't even think about it, but we treat God the same way. We defy Him. Why? It makes me big. And I'm macho. Hallelujah. I just defeated God. That's what Lucifer said. He said, I just defeated God. But then what did God do? God said, Lucifer, you cannot stay here any longer. I'm going to create a place for you. Just for you to be over. And it ain't going to be heaven on earth. It's going to be a place called hell. It's going to be a place called Hades. It's going to be a place called darkness. That's what's going to be for you. You're going to be over it. I'm not going to have anything to do with that. You're going to have everything to do with it. And I'm going to give the people a choice. Either to serve me or serve mammon, which is Satan. They can straddle the fence all they want to, but they cannot straddle the fence and be with me. They have to give everything they got and say, Lord, here I am. Everything that I have is yours. See, he wants us to commit to that, to tell him that everything that we have, that everything that we own, that everything that we put our hands to, he wants us to say, Lord, it's yours. When we come to that realization in our own life, when we say, Lord, what I have is yours. And he don't come back. And he don't tell me, so would I. I knew that in the hand. It was already mine. No. He's not going to beat me down with it. He's going to lift me up. He said, just because of what you just said, what all you have, you said is given to me. I'm going to give you a mansion. I'm not going to give you a house. I'm not going to give you some place to come and you just hang up your hat. I'm going to give you a mansion. And see, the mansion that we're going to receive is the mansion in the mansion, in the mansion. Because see, God, heaven is where the mansion is at. Heaven is the mansion. But we're going to have a mansion inside of his heavenly mansion. And you know what he's waiting for? You know what he's waiting for? And I sure am glad that Jesus was a carpenter. Ain't you? Jesus was a carpenter. And you know what Jesus is working on right now? I believe he's so close to mine and to your mansion to being finished. And when it's completely finished, trumpet's not going to blow until he places the welcome home sign on the door. Welcome home. Welcome home. I'm going to see people. It's been 25 years. I haven't seen them since then. I'm going to... Brother Ricketts, I can't think of his first name now. I didn't know him but a few months, maybe 6 months at the most, after I was saved.
And he worked at Health Techs, I believe it was, in the maintenance department. You may have knew him, Donna. I don't know.
You talking about Garland
Ricketts? Yeah, Garland Ricketts is his first name. Garland Ricketts. And I'll tell you what. He was an individual that if you could not fall in love with him, you couldn't even fall in love with Jesus. Because that's the type of individual he was. And I haven't seen him since. But I'm going to see him. I'm going to see him that one day. And it ain't going to be very long either. You said, well, how old was he when he passed away? Maybe in his 50s? 40s? I don't know. 40s, 50s? I don't have no idea. But say if he was in his 30s or 40s. Say 40. It's been 37 years. Right, well, in August it'll be 37 years since I've seen him. That means that he would be, if he was still living here on earth, if he was 40 years old, that means he'd be 77 here on earth. But I believe he was a little older than that, I don't know. But you know, when I get there, he ain't gonna be 77. And guess what? He ain't gonna be 40. He gonna be 33 and a third years old. And when he sees me, I'm gonna be 33 and a third years old. I've had people ask me, say, that is just, nowhere in the Bible tells you that. Nowhere in the Bible tells you that. That's what the Bible is all about. It's the age that Jesus was when he went to the cross. 33 and a third years old. Glory to God. And the devil thinks he can come up with anything he wants to, all of his trickery. Oh, he can come up with it. But we got somebody that can defeat him. We know somebody personally that can defeat him. I know somebody personally that does not even have to lift his hand. That can bring him down to his knees. And all he has to do is just think about it. And Satan would drop to his knees. But you know what I'm looking forward to? I'm looking forward to, after we done went through the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to be judged for what we've done since we've been saved at the judgment seat of Christ. And we're going to shed some tears then because of some things that we should have done that we did not do. And after we get past that, we're going to have a glorious time. We're going to have a glorious time. We're going to sit down at the supper table. We're going to sit down where there's going to be a spread set out for us. You know, the kings that are overseas and the president of the United States and all of the ministers around the world, yes, they have long tables. And their king and their priest and the ministers would sit at the head of the table. and they would be served. But see, Jesus is not going to be sitting at the head of my table. He's going to be the server. He's going to serve us. That's what the Bible teaches. He's going to serve me. He's going to serve you. And then we're going to take of the feast. A feast where we never ever thought about. We're going to take of food that we didn't think we'd ever find them to ever see. But we're going to take of that food. There. The devil can do what he wants to, but he cannot take that away from us. The devil can do anything he wants to me, but he cannot take me of my salvation. He cannot take my salvation away from me. That's just like David. When David sinned, Satan caused him to sin. And then David, he sent somebody else out there on the battlefield in the head of the army. And David did, it was supposed to have been David to go. But David said, no, I'm not going. I'm going to send somebody else. That's what the devil was telling him. We're telling him, let somebody else go. I got something else I want you to do. I got something else planned for your life. And he did. He had something else planned for him. And it made David so miserable. So miserable and so heartbroken. That he could not even, probably even stand. And go and do and face his people any longer. Until God broke him down. And when God broke him down, David said unto God, said God, restore unto me thy joy. Restore to me the joy that I let go. He didn't say restore unto me of salvation. He was saved for eternity. He couldn't lose it. You can't lose it either. These people out here that think that they sin tomorrow, they have to go back and ask Jesus Christ to save them again. How's that realistic? Think about it. How's that realistic? Because what did Christ have to do first for us? Didn't he have to die for us? Didn't he have to hang on the tree? Didn't he have to allow the Holy Spirit to come about and convict us of our sins? He would have to do all that again. Because I believe that he can't keep me saved. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I'm not going to serve somebody that can't keep me saved. I'm not going to serve somebody that can't live up to what they say. Because we have too many of them out here now. People we work for. Oh, they'll promise us this and they'll promise us that until we're going to work for or until we do this and that for them. And then when we do it, then they'll renege. They'll go back on the word. Why? Because the word, it don't stand for anything anymore. I can remember seeing my granddaddy. He went down at the Booker Motor Company when it was down on Industrial Avenue. And he bought a 1960 Massey Ferguson tractor for the farm. I was down there with him when he went down there to get everything ordered for it. You know what he done? Mr. Booker, he didn't put out no papers for him to sign.
All it took was a handshake. All it took was a handshake. And that handshake was just as good as any document that any lawyer could come up with. But today, if we go and do anything today, and we want to make sure that everything's legal, and we're going to get our part and everything, we got to go downtown, we got to hire us a lawyer. We got to get the lawyer to draw up a bunch of big fancy papers to where we don't end up reading. And we'll sign them, or before we do sign them, he'll take us before the judge and everything and let the judge go over it. All of that. Then on top of that, may have to go somewhere else. You're never finished. You're never finished. That's the same as just like I said this morning. We can work our entire life. And we can struggle. And we can scrape the bottom of the barrel. And we can pay that vehicle off. And we can pay that house off. But it's still not ours. Like I said this morning, it's still not ours. Why? Because it has taxes due on it. It's got a lien against it. A lien. I sure am glad that I ain't got to have no lien. And insurance was my going to heaven. I sure am glad that the only thing that me and God had to do for me to be saved was just an old, good old-fashioned handshake between me and God. And then he promised me the world. How much butter can that be? How much butter would it be? I don't know. But I know one thing. One of these days, I'm going to take that heavenly flight. And I know what the Word says. And some people believe in it, and I believe in it too. Because it's what the Word says. When it says in His Word, lo, thou will be with me. Lo, thou will be with me. But me being low is for me to be just above the pavement here. And just hovering over. But can I get to heaven and just hovering over the pavement? I'd be just hovering over the pavement. See, the thing about it is, I know y'all have heard preachers say this and that and everything else, and talk about them sputniks and everything, flying in the air and all of this and all of that and everything. Well, let me tell you what, we're going to get on that heavenly flight. And before we even think about, Lord, just take him. I really don't like flying. And we're going to be at home. We're going to be at home before I even get the first thought out. Why? Because he don't want us to suffer. He don't want us to mourn. Why? Because he cares for us. The devil don't. The devil despises me. Why does he despise me? Because of this saying that I put on this. I had my daughter to print up. And had put on this Bible right here to cover. It's Psalms 119 in verse 11. It says this, thy word I have hid in my heart, that I may not sin against thee. Did I say it right? All of it, but one portion of it I didn't. When I said that I may not sin against thee. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Who am I talking about? That I might not sin against God the Father. That I may not sin against my brother, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that I may not sin against the Holy Spirit. Why? Because I've hid His word. I just don't tote it. And I just don't carry it. And I just don't bring it up here and open it and read it. But I tote it. Because some of the scripture now is hid right in my heart. Some scripture I've read, I couldn't even quote it to you. Couldn't even tell you what it said. But when Jesus, when me and Jesus faced that struggle that I may go through, then He's going to say, you remember that verse of scripture that you read 6 months ago? And you was trying to get something from it. And I just kind of whispered to you and told you, I said, just leave it alone right now. You're just going like that. I said, you didn't need it then. I'll bring it back to you when you need it. When you need it.
Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Father, Lord Jesus, we thank You for this day. And now, Lord, I thank You, Father, for Thy precious word. That, Father, yes, we can hide Thy word in our heart. And that, Father, that we might not, and we will not. And we cannot sin against Thee. Why? Because we have Your word laying on our hearts. And we have Your word in our mind and in our thoughts. And Father, we ask, Lord, now that You'll go with us today, rest of this day. And Father, give us a new day tomorrow that we may be able to go out here and speak to somebody else. And yes, that the Holy Spirit will start dealing with their heart and convicting them of sin. And yes, Lord, I know they don't even have to be in church. They don't have to come to church to ask You to save them. My Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, that yes, that if they come here, to come here and just visit and say that they just thought they'd come. And Father, we pray, Lord, that You will give us the very words whenever it's needed, where the Holy Spirit can take it and convict our heart, that the individual can be saved, from the penalties of hell, and can be saved from the judgment, the white throne judgment. That the only judgment that I ever face is the judgment seat of Christ. And yes, and we must judge our own selves. It's better for us to judge our own selves than for you to judge us. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Father, for the people. Whereas, Lord Jesus, you may bless them this week and bless the upcoming days in the revival. Bless each and every phase of it. And we'll give you the praise, the glory, and the honor because you are so worthy of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Hallelujah.